Well, get your Bibles out. And if you would, just throw it open. And let me talk to you for just a minute, and then we'll go somewhere. If you weren't able to come to the Christmas party, I'm really sorry. You missed a great party. We had a mariachi group there. We had fun. And it was a shock to everyone, and praise God, we had fun. And that's what it was about. We wanted to have a party. We wanted to celebrate everything that Jesus has done in our lives. So a few things I want to tell you. Christy, do you have those pictures? You know, I want to reflect a little bit on this year before we go on to the next year. New Year coming. It's right around the corner. These are some pictures, and while I'm talking, they're just going to flash them up of the children that we delivered the coats to in Progreso and blessed them. About 120 coats down there we took to the kids and just blessed all of them. So you can see some pictures and flashing up there while I'm talking to you. But I told the party crowd there on Friday night a few things, and I wanted to share it with everybody, that, you know, the sign of a healthy church is to look at the scriptures and see what if the church is doing what Jesus commanded us to do. That's the signs of a healthy church. And I wanted you to know that as I wrote down 10 things that I see in Living Waters Church. And the first one is that the gospel is being preached in our area. You can be proud of yourself that you're part of a church that the uncompromised word of God is being preached in this area. Y'all are sitting here this morning because somehow or another Jesus has touched your hearts. And that's why you're here. Amen. The second thing is I can tell you that people have been set free. People have been set free this year from habits and bondages. People have been set free from different things that held us bound to keeping us back from being all that we could be for Jesus. And I know that through different ministries of the church, people have been touched and been set free. People have been healed. They've been healed emotionally and physically this year. Spiritual healing's taking place in people's lives. And that's always a sign of good things that Jesus is alive and well. The fourth thing I wrote down here was that the gospel's been preached to a large area, including all of South Texas, through the radio. You know, we still get every week the message that you hear here is preached over the radio. Goes out all over South Texas from Brownsville to Beaumont to Laredo. It kicks all that southern part of Texas. And people, we get responses all the time of people writing in. People that I'm really shocked of. A man wrote a letter the other day and was talking to us and said, you know, asking some questions. And he said he's been listening to the radio station for 8 years. And I'm like, man, he was in Brownsville. And I've never heard of the guy. He's never made contact with us. And there's a guy that is following what's going on at the Living Waters Church because we don't edit, other than if I say a real boo-boo. But what goes on radio, in other words, they're getting it cut up in 15-minute sessions in the message, and so they're hearing right along with you, and they're out there, and we don't even know who they are. The fifth thing is that the gospel is being preached around this world. We get responses from the internet over the messages because we have on our website, thewaterhole.net, you can go and hear the full messages. People from the Middle East have sent letters to us from Russia, the Ukraine. All this kind of stuff comes to the internet that's being preached. You're part of something a lot bigger than right here in Utopia, Texas. Widows and orphans have been fed and clothed. Houses have been built for them. The Bible tells if you want pure and undefiled religion, it's to feed widows and orphans and to bless those in needs. And that's what the church is doing. Of course, the children have been blessed in the orphanages. Children have been fed and educated all around this world. There's children in Kenya right now whose bellies are not hungry because this church has supplied finances to have them fed. There's children right now in Guatemala who are waking up this morning to a beautiful day with loving parents, a loving facility there, being educated and being taught, all because of what takes place in this church. Medical clinics are going on right now. The one in Kenya and the one in Guatemala, taking care of people, meeting people that can't otherwise would die of simple things, and the medical clinics are taking care of them. Books are being printed, distributed throughout all of Mexico. Revival is coming into areas and places in Mexico that have never heard about the Holy Spirit through the books that are being printed and sent down there. And through the help and the guidance of Living Waters Church and the Waterhole Ministries, people around this world have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're worshiping Him today. And that to me is the greatest Christmas gift that I can have, is to know that's what's taking place around this world. Amen? So give yourselves a hand clap this morning. People are being blessed. Amen? Well, I want you to go. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 this morning. I don't know exactly where I'm headed in this message because I just feel like the Lord changed it. So I'm preaching off the cuff, so y'all just hang with me here. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read this Christmas story here. And it came to pass in the days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with his mother, his betrothed wife, who is with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to you, which will be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." Now, I want you to turn, if you would, over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, it would seem to me that if the creator of the world, the creator of all therein, was going to send an answer to mankind, that there could be a more miraculous, a more earth-shattering way to do it than to have a woman who's 9 months pregnant ride a donkey for 50-some-odd miles to get to a room where there was no room for them, to be born in a stable in a feed trough. Y'all with me? You would think that God Almighty would part the heavens and look down and say, you know, boo, put a Savior in and shock the world. But we got to understand something. Today I want to make this point clear to you. God's ways are not our ways. God doesn't think like we think. God is not in heaven today wringing his hands and saying, "Oh, Jesus, I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know if we're going to pull it off in time. I mean, look what's going on in the world today. Look at all the suffering. Look at all the wrong people. Look at all the bad guys. They got their finger on nukes. What are we going to do, Jesus? What are we going to do?" God's not doing that. God's not breaking a sweat in heaven today because he doesn't know how to pull it off. Mankind has done something wrong. And so also, hear me now, God is not concerned about what's going on in your life, the mess that's going on in your life, the problems that's going on in your life, the fears that you have and the concerns you have, because I'm telling you today, he's got a way to get you out of it. He's not sitting there saying, "Oh, I can't believe they did that. Oh, what are they going to do now?" God's not breaking in a sweat saying, "Oh, the devil's getting so powerful. I don't know. Looks like everybody in Washington's agreeing with him." We're not going to make it. He's not worried about that a bit. God's not up there shaking on the throne. The throne's rattling and the angels are looking nervous. And I don't know, you know, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Have you heard what he's going to do? They're not having a little angel meeting saying, I don't know, what's he going to do? I've never seen quite this bad in all these years. You know, we've been around forever, but what's God going to do? You see, we people make things bigger than they are. We people create illusions that are not even there. We get offended, we get scared, or we get just crazy, and we create illusions that are not even there. We let the devil hoodwink us. We let the devil blindfold us into thinking that there is no way out. There's no way out. There'll never be another chance. It'll never be able to make it. I'm trapped. And God says, look, I'm not too worried about this. You think I didn't know there wasn't going to be any room in the lodge? You think God was sitting there saying, oh, no, stop them. Don't let them. They rented the last room. My gosh. What are we going to do now, Jesus? Right? I mean, come on. We need to sometimes just quit thinking the world is revolving around us. We need to quit, excuse me, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, but you need to quit thinking you're so important. That the world is going to crumble because, oh my gosh, look what you've done. Hello? The balance of the world is not held in your hands. You know, all this hoopla has gone on about global warming, and now there's some scientists coming out saying that they're completely, absolutely wrong. That's not global warming. We're actually going into a mini ice age. Did y'all hear any of that? If you live anywhere like north of the Mason-Dixon line, you believe that. You say, amen, brother. Huh? But I'm glad to know that I can read the Psalms, and the Bible says that the seas are not going to rise one little smidgen unless it's at God's command. Melt the polar ice caps. I don't care. It ain't going to rise unless God says it's going to rise. I'm glad to know the balance of this world is not held in man's hands. It's held in Almighty God's hands. And this Christmas season, we kind of need to be reminded of this. And quit thinking about, oh, this and oh, that, and woe is this and woe is that, and start thinking about, you know, my God can do anything. There's that old children's song that and I always get it wrong. My wife is always correcting me all these years. I don't ever say it right, but it's, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Right? And the kids used to sing that when I was you know, when our kids were small, and I'd march around the house and say, my God, it's so big, so strong, and so much. It's nothing my God cannot do. Hey, hey. But Jeremiah 32 and 27 says that he is the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for him. So why do we say, oh, how's God going to ever make this work out? I don't see. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean God can't make it work out. Because you don't think like God thinks. You don't think like God thinks. Like, you know, I try it at times to think that I have some couth and some education. And then I do something stupid and I know that I don't. But I was watching television the other day. It was on television. And I just looked at my wife and said, I don't even understand how it works. And she said, what? And I said, television. I can't grab it in my mind. I sit here and I look at it. I can't get it. I could kind of imagine something when there was cable. I don't know why that I think I could believe cable. I don't even understand how you can take an image of somebody, reduce it into some sort of pixels or whatever it is, and shoot it down a line. It comes out and this other thing. Come on, folks. How did the guy think of it? How was he sitting around? Who was the guy sitting around thinking that? Oh, I got it. We'll know what we'll do. That guy thought on another level than I think on. I try to figure out how to dig post holes easier or hire somebody to do it or, you know. Right? Y'all with me? And I look at that and I'm amazed and I'm like, and I have actually gone and researched it, how it works, and I can't understand it. It's like, but I'll sit there and I'll turn it on and expect something to be on. Never question it. Just as fully well expect some yahoo's over there with a little box and a little deal and he's making it work. And I don't know, it's there. I don't know how it got there. It's there. They say live from wherever, you know. Yeah, okay, wow. Cool. Are y'all with me here? Or y'all already got all that figured out how it works? But we go in there and we just turn it on and watch it. But you see, radio, I can semi-grasp in the sense that when as a kid you'd put a string through a can and talk, and I just have to somehow or another imagine that that sound went out because somebody can do something in town and I can hear it up on the side of the hill. So I can kind of get the grasp of sound. I can't get the grasp of images. How they transferred that image. Y'all with me? But do I question it? Do I sit around and say, oh, it ain't never going to work? Ain't no sense turning that thing on. I don't know why you even went and bought one of those things. It ain't going to work. But do we do the same thing with God? We come up with a problem or situation in life and say, oh, I don't know how he's going to pull this off. Just because you can't think about how he's going to pull it off don't mean he can't pull it off. Just because you can't grasp it in your mind, there's other things that we can't grasp in our minds that we just fully will expect and believe. I'll tell y'all something funny. When Brother Ivan was here, he had just gotten an iPad. Is that right? He was at a church and somebody gave him one. So he just put it all on there. And so he says, when his message, he said something about, if you don't bring your Bibles to church, you know, you don't bring your Bible to church. And so he looked over there at me about that time because he knew it looked like he had a Bible. He didn't have a Bible. He had an iPad. And so I said to him, I said, well, so what, iPads count now? I mean, you know, what if you lost power? You don't have no Bible. And he's like, I knew you were going to say something when we got to the house. I said, yeah, I got you on that one, but you better keep a pocket one in here because you can't say that from the pulpit no more about you didn't got to bring your Bibles because you didn't have your Bible. But just think about it. You know, even in my iPhone, I've got 27 translations of a Bible in there. And you can just go through and just, it was free. It was free. I'd have paid $50 for it. They didn't want anything for it. I took it, put it down, downloaded it. Yeah, man, got my Bible in here. Actually can copy pages off an email and send it. How does it work? I don't know. I don't know how I got out of there. But somebody says, hey, thank you. I like that word you gave me. And I was like, oh, I don't know how you looks. And then I say, oh, I don't know how God's going to get us out of this situation. It looks bad. Took a pregnant lady, put her on a donkey. That right there would have been enough to cause some sort of serious medical condition. Nothing other than just Mary being so irritated by the time she got there, couldn't that kill Joseph? And Joseph been scarred for life of all the horrible things she said to him in the middle of childbirth out in the middle of a stable. You did this to me. Look what you've done to me. This is the best you can do. Not hear the pigs and the cows. Oh, my God. Put my baby in a feed trough. I mean, y'all, see, everybody always wants to make this thing seem like it was so holy. Like that. See, they're after me.
the aliens are here.
Well, that's better than when we used to always be preaching in Mexico and the speakers would pick up the truck drivers as they'd go by on the CBs. And so you'd be preaching all of a sudden, just, you know, the foulest stuff in the world would come right over the speakers. I'd everybody go, that's, I didn't say it. I didn't say it. It's the truck driver bled over. Some shock people in those meetings. Y'all with me? You even see it, you know, shepherds out in the field, right? Now, you know, shepherds, what are they doing out in the field? They're out there to guard the animals, right? And the next thing you know, the whole heavens break open with angels flying around. That's enough freak you out right there. Give you some mental distress for the rest of your life. All of a sudden, angels are flying around there, scattering the sheep probably. Are y'all with me in this? We can't think like God thinks. He's got this plan. He's got this whole thing figured out. That's why he says, "Let rest under my shadow. Rest under my wings like a hen would let their chicks rest underneath her wing. Trust in me. Because you're not thinking like I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's okay. It's what God's saying. I'm thinking we can make this work out. I'm thinking it'll work. You just got to trust me." The problem is we get in the mix and try to make things work out the way we think they should work out. And the hindrance to God moving in your life is you and me. How many times I've prayed and prayed to the Lord, I don't understand what to do. I just want to understand. And I would hear his voice say to me, "Would you get out of the way? Would you just get out of the way? I'm directing traffic for God." And God said, "Robert, get out of the way. I'm going to run over you. I've got it figured out. It's not a big a deal." But just think about it. Think of Mary. Now, I don't agree with, the worship of Mary or anything, but my hat's off to the woman. I mean, she had a tough job. Nowadays, we have hospitals and all the stuff that goes with having a baby. I don't know, I felt like I'm pregnant, but I've never been pregnant. But I just can't imagine being as pregnant as she is, trotting along on a little old burro. That cannot be good when you're pregnant. Right? They rode like 50 some odd miles to get to where they had to be. It wasn't like it was around the corner. Folks, how would you like to go from, let's just say you're going to get on a donkey, you're 9 months pregnant, ride from here to Castroville? Do you realize the chances you would have in that situation to get irritated and ugly? Now, granted that in those days, things were a little rougher. They weren't as sissified as all of us have gotten, with all the conveniences of life. But, folks, I'm telling you, that's rough. And then to get there, so they intended to stay in a hotel, and there was no room in it. But let's put a twist on it. Mary knew, because God had already spoken to her, that Jesus was in her, that he was special, and he was a... Oh, this is good. She'd already been given the promise that she was going to bring forth a son. His name was going to be called Jesus. He was going to be the Savior of the world. She already knew that was in her. Do you think the thought went through her mind? Excuse me, Lord, do you see me on the donkey's back? How more inconvenient could it be? Could you have not made there to be another decree that I didn't have to go to Nazareth at this time? Or if I had to go, could you have not spoken to me earlier so I wouldn't be so inconvenienced riding the donkey 9 months of pregnant? But see, y'all don't ever have thoughts like that. I know y'all are holy, sanctified people. Say, yes, Lord. Only your will for my life, oh Lord. Y'all don't ever have those thoughts. See, my hat's off to Mary because no matter what, she fulfilled the purpose. She got there. And then can you imagine the expectation? Oh, God, if I could just make it to the bed and get in there and soak my feet or something, Lord, you know, soak something. Right? Joseph comes back. Mary, I'm sorry, but it's all full.
Oh, did it?
Now, granted that I do not believe that men 2,000 years ago were any smarter than men are today. Because I really believe that men, and we need this, we need it. At the fall of the garden, we all became stupid, and that's just the way it is. The thought, men's thoughts just all went onto a level plane. And that's when we get in trouble. But it all started at the fall, so women, you ought to back off some. Because it's, y'all started it, and we got the curse in there, and so whatever. But can you imagine Joseph's face walking back to tell Mary she got no room? Let's just put this into a modern swing to this, okay? I told you to call and make a reservation. You always do this. You think that you could just do anything and there would be a room. But did you not know? Didn't I tell you that there was this taxation thing going on and registration thing going on and there's going to be more people in town? And didn't I tell you to call ahead? You see where this could have gone? And that's what I'm saying. We get this scene of this beautiful halo, and everybody says, oh, man, I'm telling you, folks, it's real. And so then he comes trotting back over there. Hey, good news. There's a stable over here. We can stay in there. The guy said we could have that new bale of hay, and I'll throw some down for it. Pick the grass burrs out of everything. It'll be okay. I'll put a blanket on it. It'll be all right. It's a beautiful night. We'll stay out under the stars. And we, our humanists, we look at it and we're like wanting to talk to God about it and say, what were you thinking? And the whole time God's saying, it's no big deal. I had it all under control all the time. All the time I had it under control all the time. It was no big deal. I was fulfilling prophecy that was spoken that Jesus had to be born in the town of Bethlehem. And so I had to fulfill that scripture. And so the registration came about. So they had to go there because they had to get registered in that town. And so then that put him in the place. And that fulfilled the prophecies of this, this, and this, and this. And it was already prophesied that he was going to be born in a manger. See, you missed it, Mary. It was already prophesied that he was going to be born in a manger. You weren't supposed to be in a room. You were getting off track. And so I had to make it where there was nobody, no room for you because he had to be born in a manger because that's where Isaiah had prophesied he was going to be born in. You see, folks, you may be fulfilling scripture in your life that you never even understood. And the only reason why the problems are coming in your life is because you're over here trying to fulfill your own scripture rather than fulfilling God's scripture. God says you're supposed to be a son of God. You're supposed to be more than a conqueror. You're supposed to be an overcomer. That's what the scripture says about y'all. Scripture says that you have an anointing from the Holy One. You know all things already. It says the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Scripture says that you have the mind of Christ.
So I ain't got the mind of Christ. I ain't got no authority of anything anywhere.
That's what the scripture says. Are you fulfilling scripture? No, we're frozen in that we can't see how God can make it happen. And we're frozen in time. When God says, all I want you to do is trust in me. If I can birth the Savior of the world and bring him to complete age to go to the cross and die for you, then I think what you're going through, peace gate. You say, well, Lord, it don't feel like no peace gate. Peace gate. God's got it under control. God's got it in hand. All he wants you to do is get out of the way. All he wants you to do is get to the place where you can sit back in life and say, Lord, come on, move in my life. Whatever, man, I just want you, Lord. I want you in the middle of my life. I want you doing whatever it needs to be. I want you taking care of everything. Look back over there at Luke 2. Verse 15, so it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. To see this thing that has come to pass. And they made haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which is told concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled, and those that were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things, and she pondered them in her heart. But the shepherds returned, glorifying God, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. One of the things I want to do when I get to heaven is I want to see the DVD of what took place that night and what the shepherds did. And I want to see how it affected the shepherds for the rest of their life. You know, what did the shepherds, what did they do after that? They had an encounter with the angels, an encounter with God that night. And you don't ever hear anything else about them in the scriptures. Unless they were, you know, they could have been part of the group that was going on. They could have been part of the 120. That doesn't specifically, the Bible doesn't specifically pull them out and emphasize them anywhere. But it's interesting to me because they had an encounter with God that night, and I just wonder what they did with it. So here we go. You've had an encounter with God. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to believe that God is all Almighty God, the God that you believe that He is, that He created the heavens and the earth and all that, and He can create anything He needs in your life? With the experience that you've had, the experience of maybe it wasn't angels parting the skies and it wasn't out in the middle and going and seeing the baby Jesus and the shepherds hearing them saying glory to God in the highest. Maybe that wasn't exactly how it happened in your life, but you had an encounter with God, or you wouldn't be sitting here. Church, we take our salvation too lightly. We take the encounters with God too lightly. We take the things that He's done and we get it all in a big slushy pool of religiosity. And we downplay everything and we say, oh yeah, well, I got saved, you know. Like, yeah, you were going to burn in hell forever and now you're going to live in the streets of gold in a mansion? And you can turn it off and say, oh yeah, well, I got saved back in 36. There are times that I just have to stop and I look at my wife and say, my God, if it wouldn't have been for Jesus, He wouldn't have come into our life. I would have been so lost. I'd have been an alcoholic. Our lives would have been a wreck and there'd have been all kinds of problems if Jesus wouldn't have stepped into my life at the time that He did in our lives, at the time that He did and rescued us. And I'm so happy for that. There's no event that could ever take place in my life that's going to bring me the thrill of knowing the day that I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was headed for hell, and heaven came into my life. Oh, man, how could anything be greater than that? Give me the Nobel Peace Prize. So what? There's no accomplishment that I could ever do in life. I've already accomplished the greatest thing that could ever happen in my life. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Man, folks, we can't forget that. You cannot downplay your salvation. What about it? Almighty God came to live on the inside of you, the creator of heaven and earth and all therein. Quit living a life full of doubt and unbelief. Quit letting things look like they're bigger than they are. Start getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror and saying, whoa, bless God. He lives in me today. There's nothing that's impossible today. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, I don't either sometimes. But that's because we live in a fallen world. Things don't always go right for me. Things don't always go right just because, I've got it all prayed down perfect and nothing ever happens and goes wrong. Things go wrong all the time. But I've learned in life to just sit back and say, wow, I didn't see that one coming, Lord. Okay. Well, I don't know. You have to figure that out somehow because I don't know what in the world to do with it. Just to sit back and say, God, I wish you didn't have to walk through that. But, you know, you're on the other side, so might as well go on. What else you gonna do?
Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
So what? Because we like to be in control. We like the security that we've got it all under control. What? Listen to me. No matter how big and bad you are, there's somebody bigger and badder. No matter how much wealth you amass that keeps your security, there's always something bigger. You can't create a perfect world and then maintain it yourself. The victory in life comes through faith in Jesus and what He's done for us, and faith in what God's plan is for you, that He's going to make it all work out. And you can sit back and say, my God, I'm so glad I met you, Jesus. And you're going to take care of this whole thing. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how retirement's going to work out. I don't know how all that's going to take place. But Lord, just, man, I don't, if as long as I'm with you, doesn't matter. Have you ever sat around and thought what you could live without? Ivan and I are always, you know, we have this relationship where we like to delve into each other's self. And so we were, the other night, okay, you're trapped on a desert island. There's nobody with you. And you can only take one book of the Bible. What's it going to be? See, when you start thinking about things in those realms and you start getting rid of all the fluff and all the, you know, it's not, well, I'd have to have my pillow. You can't sleep without my pillow. It's a special pillow. You ain't got no pillow. What can you do without? What can you do without? You know, God bless the electronic age and everything that has come into our hands, but, you know, even I experienced as a kid, we lived a lot simpler. A lot less worries, a lot less stress. Lived a whole lot simpler. Oh, didn't have the things that we had today. We lived a lot less simpler. A lot, as far as I remember, everybody was happy. Because I am blessed to live in the days that we grew what we ate. We raised what we ate. Mama, I got to say this. My mother, man, she was a real rancher's wife and always cooked for us and did all the things for us and prepared. We had this pantry with pickled this and pickled that. But there was one thing she made as a kid that I hated. And it was this date loaf roll of stuff. Golly, Mom. We never liked it. She'd make it every year about this time of year. When you get in there, and we'd eat everything in the house. I mean, we'd down to like eat a spoonful of sugar before we went to the date roll. Every year we had that thing, though. We'd eat it. We'd get her down somehow, you know, but. And my point is that it was simple. And folks, all I'm telling you is let's don't take this age that we've got and then build our world into these great big places that we can't deal with because, you know, we can't see how it's going to work out. And make our lives so complicated with our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with our Heavenly Father, that we can't make it work out, that we can't just go and enjoy a Christmas that Jesus was born and came into this world. And miss the true meaning of Christmas. Miss what everything God's done for you. Lose out on your salvation. Lose out on the joy that He's given to you. You say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't know. So-and-so did me wrong. Bless them and get on with it. Go on down the road. Well, it was a terrible thing. I know it. Bless them and get on with it. Because it's killing you. The only person drying up like an old prune is you. Look at the person beside you and say, I just love it when Pastor talks rough to us like that. Now, I want to remind you of something, church. Hear me now. The last thing, the book's closed. God gave us this great gift, Jesus, in this season. He had it all under control. He knew He was going to fulfill out the scriptures and make it to the cross. He gave us a gift knowing that Jesus was going to die on a cross for you and for me. You say, how? That's so sad. Not from God's way of looking at it. Because God knew that through Jesus' sacrifice, then your sins and my sins would be forgiven, and that He was going to have a whole giant new family. The Bible says that when you confess with your mouth and you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that day, God forgave you of your sins. That day, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That day, heaven became yours. That day, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and put over in the kingdom of God. You're not getting there, you're there. That moment that you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, I don't care if you were a small child last night or this morning, heaven was set for you. All you got to do now is walk with Him, quit directing traffic, and get out of the way and believe Him. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Can I have my prayer team and my pastoral team come down for prayer? I want to ask you one more question. Matter of fact, I just want everybody, if you just take a moment with the Lord and just bow your heads and give the person around you a little privacy. Church, if there's anybody in here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me give you the greatest Christmas gift you could ever have. All I want to do is pray with you. Fulfill the scriptures and what it says, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that then He'll come to live in your heart. He'll forgive you of your sins. And if you've never done that or you're not sure of your salvation, I want to pray with you this morning. But I need you to just let me know who you are and just lift your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, it's me. I want you to pray with me this morning. I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, would all of y'all just pray this with me? Those of you that lifted your hands and all of us together, would you just pray this? Say, Jesus, today I invite you into my life. I believe that you're my Savior. I believe that you forgave my sins. And today I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift of life. Amen. Now, church, look at me. I want to also remind you that at Christmas time, People are hurting. It's the greatest time in the world for some people and the saddest time for others. I want to encourage you this week that as you go out into the world and you're with your maybe the people you work with, or you're with friends or relatives or whatever's taking place leading up to Christmas, I want to ask you to just pray every morning and be a little extra sensitive to the Spirit of God and what He had prodded you to show you somebody, or to just maybe lead somebody to Jesus, or pray with somebody, or encourage somebody. I'm telling you, they're out there, church. And you are called to be the sons and the daughters of God, and you're called to take the message to the world. You don't have to be religious about it. Matter of fact, please don't. Just love people, care about them, pray for them, and believe this awesome, mighty God to do everything He's going to do. Amen? And so don't get worried. Everybody say, I'm not worried. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm not worried. Look at the person on the other side and say, God's got it in control. Now take that person's hand, if you would. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray a special prayer, a blessing over every person here, Lord God. That, Lord, that this is going to be the greatest Christmas we've ever had. We're going to be able to be around our families. We're going to be around those loved ones, Lord. We're going to be able to share the gospel with people everywhere, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I ask you to bless them. Bless them as they go. Bless their steps. Bless their lives, Lord. And we thank you so much for this precious gift that you gave us this season, your son, Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen, and amen. Hey, God bless you. We're here up front for you if you need prayer.